morning, though. I want to announce one thing, and then we're going to move right into Philippians chapter 2. This Thursday night, November 12th, is our turn, Grace Point's turn, to serve the homeless here in Irving. And Victoria Reyes, stand up, Victoria. Say hello. There she is. She's leading the charge on this. If you would like to serve food, if you'd like to give food, whatever you'd like to do to help, you can see Victoria right after service, or you can contact her on Facebook. Don't wait till the last minute. Just go ahead. If you do wait till the last minute, still just show up, all right, and help. There's going to be plenty of places to help. And I think this month is a great time, especially if your family, if you have kids, it's a great time for you to be able to put them in a position of servanthood this month of Thanksgiving. So make sure you're a part of that, and just check it out on Victoria's Facebook, and you'll get all the details that you need. All right, grab your Bible. You're going to need your Bible this morning, all right? So I want to tell you that I feel like you've been kind of lazy on Sunday mornings. I've been putting all the scriptures up here on the screen for you, and I've been doing all the heavy lifting. So today you're going to have to hold your own Bible. That's really not true. You are going to have to hold your own Bible, but here's why they're not on the screen. I had a computer glitch this morning early, and everything's gone. Everything. And so you get to hold your own Bible today, not because you're being punished, but because you have one, all right? And we're not going to have it on the screen. So grab your Bible, and we're just going to go through several scriptures this morning. Last week was election week. They say that that two-thirds of people were anxious, afraid, worried about what would happen after the election. That's up. The previous election, it was at 50%. Now it's at around two-thirds of people say they're anxious, all right, about what happens after the election. Now, the election's over. We think we know who won. We'll see. Whoever you voted for, it doesn't really matter at this point, because one way or the other, when this whole election thing is complete, we will have a president, all right? But as we said last week, we're not going to put our faith in the president. We're going to keep our faith in Jesus, all right? Can we just give the Lord some praise for that one? All right. Now, if your guy won or if he didn't, all right, this is for you this morning. This is for all of us. I love how this scripture just, I would like to say I thought it all out, had it figured out, and I knew this passage of scripture was going to be the passage that we were going to study the week after election. I didn't do that, all right? It just worked out. God just put it here for us, I think. So, if it doesn't really matter which way the election went when it comes to how you and I respond to it. God has a plan in place. Now, I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. So just flip through there. If you don't have one, there's probably a Bible somewhere close to you in the chair in front of you. Just grab that if you would. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now, some of you can quote this scripture. All right? This is a powerful passage because it puts everything that happens in your life and mine into perspective. It helps us understand that God is working in our lives no matter what happens. So Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Here's what he says. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now stop there. Now this is probably the linchpin of everything we're going to talk about this morning. No matter if your guy won or not, the Bible says that God makes sure that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So no matter who wins an election, if you're a child of God, if you love God and you're called according to His purpose, God is working it out in your favor. God is working on your behalf and my behalf, and He is doing everything that He has always done for us. He's making sure that circumstances lead us to where He wants us to be. Now, that's hard. Sometimes if you've worked and you believe you've been involved in the political process and you thought it was going to go a certain, you prayed a certain thing, and yet it maybe didn't happen the way you wanted it to, or maybe it did happen the way you wanted it to. And God is saying, look, I know where you were before this election. I know where you are after this election, I got plans for you. I had plans for you before. I got plans for you after. I'm with you. I'm going to work this out in your favor. Now, when I was a kid, my mom and dad didn't do everything I wanted them to do. As a matter of fact, very seldom did they check in with me and say, hey, how would you like this family to, what direction would you like this family to go in? As a matter of fact, they didn't very often say to me, what would you like for dinner? Most of the time it was, this is what we're having for dinner. Well, I don't want that. Well, you'll be hungry tonight. That's the way it's going to be. See, that's, we don't ask our children what they think is best. We shouldn't. We should tell them what is best. God is saying, look, you're smart, but you ain't that smart. I'm going to work all this stuff in your favor. I'm going to do this the way you want it done. Now, the Bible gives us some passages that are really, really hard to deal with. And we're going to hit a couple of those this morning. One of them is, go ahead and turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Sometimes we avoid these passages because they're difficult, because they're hard to accept, and maybe even hard to understand. So 1 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 13. All right, I even got my little tab so I can be faster than you this morning. I knew the scriptures we were going to be reading. All right, 1 Peter 2, 13. Now remember, we're talking about the week after the election, okay? And here's what he says. For the Lord's sake, I love this. Can we stop here? For God's sake, all right? For the Lord's sake, he says, respect all human authority. Whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed, for the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. Verse 15, it is God's will that you that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. So here's what he said. There are going to be kings and there's going to be leaders that you don't care for. Now here's what I need you to do is what Paul is telling us, or Peter is saying to us. He says, it's God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. Here's what he's saying. Live in a way that brings honor to the name of Christ. No matter who's in charge, no matter who the elected official is, make sure that we live our lives. I can't control the way they do things in Washington. If we could do it my way in Washington, it'd look way different. All right? They'd have a Texas flag flying over the Capitol building. I mean, it'd be very different, all right? And you would do it differently, and we would all do it differently. But God is saying to you and me, when we don't have authority, when there are different kings and different leaders and different rulers, we have to make sure that we live our lives in a way, an honorable way, that gives them no reason to look down on us. Don't live a double life. Don't live a double standard. Don't say you love but then really hate. Don't say you care and really don't. He said, I want you to live an honorable life. Now, I want to move to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, back up just a little bit. All right, Romans 13, we're going to go with verses 1 and 2. Now we're getting to Philippians chapter 2, that we said we were going to talk about. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is one of those scriptures that's really hard to handle, okay? Here we go. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. I'm just going to let that one hang there for just a second. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Now we could go on further. We're going to stop right there for just a minute. Everyone must submit to government authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. They will be punished. All right. Now, we don't like this one when our guy loses, all right? When your guy wins, you're like, yeah, we need to listen to all those people in authority. And when your guy loses, you're like, he's just a loser, and he's a scoundrel, and he's a womanizer, and he's a blah, blah, blah. And we go down the list, and we say all these things. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like this scripture. It's too direct and too straightforward, all right? It's up to us, though. Now, the Bible never tells us to disobey God so that we can honor the people in authority. It doesn't tell us that. That's completely different. But an old theologian said this one time, there is the intended will of God, there is the permissive will of God, and there's the ultimate will of God. So right now, we are living in the era we live in right now. We are living in the permissive will of God. Now, the perfect will of God, the intended will of God, was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And everything was wonderful. It was utopia, and they were just dancing through the, no, they were doing their thing. They were happy. It was so easy. But for mankind to love God, God had to give him and her a choice. If you tell somebody they have to love you and you don't give them a choice, it's called kidnapping. All right? Now, God said, he wanted them to love him, so he had to allow them the choice of whether to obey him or not. Now, the Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me, okay? So the question then becomes, am I honoring God in the way I live now? I know what the intended will of God was. The intended will of God was that God's going to create mankind, and they're going to follow God, and they're going to serve God, and they're going to live for God, and God's going to bless them, and it's going to be life in the Garden of Eden. It's just going to be paradise all the time. Humankind, we messed that up. We can blame Adam and Eve, but you and I would have done the same stupid stuff, all right? It got messed up. So now here we are living in the permissive will of God, where God says, okay, you are not doing this out of the way I wanted you to do it, but I'm going to allow it for a while, but you're going to have to deal with the consequences of your sin. You're going to have to deal with problems. You're going to have leaders that are not who you want, who are not thinking about you first. You are going to have good leaders, but you're going to have some that aren't. And so God was saying, I need you to understand, there's a giant picture. It's not just the first Tuesday of November that God's thinking about. God is thinking about eternity when he started way back here with the intended will of God. And one day there will be the ultimate will of God. God's going to set up his kingdom again, and we're going to all obey him. And what he intended for Adam and Eve will be one day. Okay? But right now we're in the middle of all these problems. And God is saying, look, you have a job. Your job is to represent Christ here on earth. And you honor Christ, you serve God by honoring Christ and living in a way that points people to Jesus. So here we are dealing with the few days after an election, and we're in the permissive will of God. We're dealing with circumstances that we don't really like. No matter who wins this election, no matter who is inaugurated in January, we will still be dealing with the permissive will of God. Our country, our world is involved in sin that God hates, and God will not allow it to go unpunished until we repent. So God is saying, look, your job, your purpose is bigger than getting what you want on an initiative or a proposal or any kind of ballot. God has something bigger. Now let's move to Philippians chapter 2, all right? Philippians chapter 2. Okay. Somebody say amen. Now, you got to love me. I didn't write that last scripture, okay? That was God. You got to deal with him on that. All right. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to go with verse 1. We're going to look at 11 verses. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Now, think about where you are in your journey with the Lord right now, where you are as an American, what's going on in your life, in your country, and all of that. Now, remember, Paul is in prison. He's chained to a guard. He's waiting for fake charges to be brought up against him. He's going to go before a court. He could possibly be murdered and killed because he was following Jesus. Now, he's writing that knowing, he's writing to these people knowing that all of that stuff is true. So my situation is not quite as bad as Paul's this morning, all right? I got some real high spots compared to where Paul was at. But Paul starts asking these questions, and he's leading them down a path, okay? He says this, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? I want us to ask ourselves that question this morning. Our world is more divided than ever. It seems like problems are magnified more than ever. But is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? If there is no encouragement from belonging to Christ, then I'm not doing my Christian life right. I'm not living the way the Scripture tells me to live. He wants me to answer this with a yes. Yeah, I'm encouraged because I have Jesus. Circumstances aren't perfect. And then he asks this, is there any comfort from his love? He said, when circumstances are not going your way, when the world is not moving in the direction you want it to move, do you find any comfort in the love of Jesus? Now look, CNN and Fox News will take your comfort away. I have to take it in small doses, all right? He's saying, I want you to focus on Jesus. Is there any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Any fellowship? Are you connecting with God? Are you connecting with other believers? Is there fellowship in the Spirit happening? Or are you feeling isolated and alone? God never wants that to happen. He's leading us down this path. And he says, are your hearts tender and compassionate? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Paul said, look, I gave you some questions. We got bad circumstances. I gave you some questions. I want to remind you that there's some stuff to be grateful for. But then he says, I need you to make me truly happy. As a father would say, here's what would make me happy. I want you to agree wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. So he says in verse 2, here's what would make me truly happy. I want you to love each other. I want you to work together with one mind and one purpose. He said, I want you to be unified. I want you to be unified with other believers. But what are we unified on? Are we unified on we're all going to vote Republican or we're all going to vote Democrat? No, we're not. Republicans and Democrats didn't exist when this was written. All right? We know that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about something much, much deeper. He wants us to be united on two things. Now there's probably more. You can go through Scripture and find more things. But two things he really, really wants the church to be united on. And that first one is in Matthew chapter 28. You can look that one up. All right, Matthew chapter 28. He wants us to be united on the Great Commission. And the next one is the Great Commandment. The Great Commission says this. That's the one we're looking at right now, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and told his disciples, I've given you all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, now watch, he said, I gave you authority. I'm going with you. You have my resources behind you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So the goal of the church is not to influence politics, okay? The goal of the church is to spread the gospel around the world. And when we get focused on the wrong stuff, when we get divided, the Bible teaches us that God hates some things, and the one he hates the most is when someone sows discord among brothers. Go look it up later. God hates it when there is discord among brothers. Now, God hates division anyway, but the result of division is less gets accomplished. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. So here we go. I can do a little bit myself, but if I'm connected and united with you, then I get to do what this scripture says, go into all the world. Make disciples, baptize them, disciple them, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's saying there's more. Even in this era of the permissive will of God, where God is allowing us to do whatever it is we want to do, not blessing it, but he's allowing it, he still wants us to share the gospel with other people. So in this moment, in this election, God is saying to us, I got something bigger for you. I got something more important for you to do than to figure out your politics. Now, I'm all for, I don't want to get us on the wrong track here. I'm all for going to vote and being politically active. It makes our world a better place. We all understand that. But we also have to know what we're focused on and what we're all about. Here's the other thing that he wants us to be united on. Turn over a few pages to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. All right. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. Does that sound familiar? You can go back and look at the debate later that happened just before this passage. One of the teachers of religious law was standing there listening to the debate. He realized that Jesus had answered well. So he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Isn't it funny how we do that? Nowadays, you open your computer, there's a top 10 list of this and a top 3 list of that. We all want to know, what's the best? What's the most important? We want to boil it down to one thing, and Jesus didn't miss a beat. He said this, the most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. He said, what is most important? He said, I want you to love God with everything in you. And Jesus wouldn't let him off with just one. He's like, here's something else that's important. The second commandment is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So he says, he teaches us to be united. To be united in sharing the gospel, be united in loving people around us and encouraging people around us and walking this thing out in faith. Now, going back to Philippians chapter 2, he says this in verse 5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up the divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being, and he appeared in human form, and he humbled himself to in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Here's what he said. Paul said, look, we got some bad stuff happening around us. We got some stuff that's just horrible happening around us. But I want you to remember, I want you to humble yourself, and I want you to be in unity. I want you to love others. As a matter of fact, I want you to think about others and their needs more than you do your own. I want you to focus in on other people and serve them. I want you to love God with all your heart. I want you to love other people. And he says, how are we going to do that? Well, we're just going to look at Jesus. We're going to look at Jesus. The scripture there said it. He lowered himself. He became the slave to you and me. He gave up his life and died on the cross so that we could be free. And he gave us. He sets this up as the example. I want my kids. I actually said to my kids the other day, I'm afraid you guys aren't going to have any heroes. There are people, I look back in history, and they were heroes of mine. I never had a poster of them. They weren't slam dunking a basketball. All right? That's okay. But people who changed history because of their walk with Christ, God is looking for people who will go against the grain, who will go upstream instead of just accepting what's happening. Not taking up arms, but taking a knee to honor Christ and to serve their fellow man. In the Bible, it was important from when you went to someone's house that they had a bowl of water there so you could wash your feet because you're walking down dusty streets. They didn't have concrete and asphalt. They're walking around in sandals, and when you came to someone's house, they had a bowl of water there so you could wash your feet off, and it just felt good, refreshing. And every now and then, the owner of the house, if he really wanted to serve you, he would kneel down and wash your feet for you. He would humble himself just like Jesus did and say, I'm your servant. I want to do this for you. So here's the deal. We're going to close with this. It is so easy to get caught up in our world of I want mine. I want my legislation. I want my president. I want my representative. I want my Supreme Court. I want just me, me, me. And Paul was saying to us throughout the book of Philippians, you are never going to get all that stuff you want. It does not, that place right now does not exist. That was the intended will of God. You should have been around when Adam and Eve and stopped them from messing this thing up. But one day, the intended will of God will happen again, and he will set up his kingdom in a way that obedience is first and foremost. All right? That's coming. But right now, I don't get everything I want. I wish I did. Remember when you were a kid and you made your list of all your Christmas wish lists? And you're like, your parents added it up and it's like $6 million. You know? You ain't getting all this. You can pick up one thing, but don't pick that car. You're getting part of this stuff. You're getting some things you want. But here's what we need to remember. I'm never going to get everything I want in this life. We're living in the permissive will of God. I'm never going to get everything I want. But my Heavenly Father is watching over me. See, I never got everything I wanted for Christmas, but I knew I had a good mom and a good dad who loved me, and it was a safe place to grow up. And not everybody had that. So there were some things I never thought about. Here's some things that we never think about. God said to us, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. God has never walked away from a person who said, I believe in Christ. He's always walked with them through every set of circumstances, through every problem. Did they get everything they want? No. But all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Our job is to live a life that honors other people, even the ones we don't like. The ones we don't like at work and the ones we don't like in our government, God said, we just read them. He wants us to honor those people, to love people and serve people like Jesus did. Jesus, the scripture just said it. Every knee is going to bow at some point to the name of Jesus. Every knee is going to bow. But Jesus, even knowing that, said, I'll become your servant. So servanthood might be walking away from an argument about politics, but engaging in an opportunity to share Jesus with that same person. Sometimes we work so hard at winning arguments about politics that we lose opportunities to share Jesus. It's a matter of focus. What's most important to me? What's most important? I've said this at least 100 times this week. Different discussions on politics and, well, has Nevada been counted and has North Carolina been counted and what's Georgia? Didn't you grow up in Georgia? And I'm like, yeah, but stop it. I'm in Texas now. All right, so million conversations and I feel like I end up with this same scenario. It's going to be all right because we're serving Jesus. I've had people say that to me this week, which makes me so happy. Amen. When we say, this is not about, we're gonna vote, we're going to do our part, we're going to, all that. We're first and we're foremost going to say, Lord, what do you have for me to do right now? Because I know you're in charge, and I just want you to have your way. I want you to stand with me right now. Here's what we're about to do. We're going to pray for our country right now. The Bible tells us that if we will humble ourselves and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, and we're going to hear from heaven. God will start working in brand new ways. So I'm gonna ask you to do something, all right? If you voted for Trump, I want you praying for Biden right now. And if you voted for Biden, I want you to be praying for Trump right now. We're going to pray for peace. We're going to pray that the name of Jesus be lifted up in our country. We're going to pray that not by force, but that because of the love the church shows to the world right now, that people start coming to Jesus. That they see in you and me, amen, they see in you and me a peace and a contentment that they're not getting anywhere else. But that's a miracle in you and me. If I can have peace and contentment right now, it's a miracle God's doing in me. And so it's not me saying, look at what I did. Here's the 10 steps to get to be where I'm at. No, no, no. It's saying, look, this is what Jesus did. God is the one who gives me peace. This is all about Him. And so when I get to point people to Jesus, I'm doing something so much bigger. So much bigger than a vote on a ballot. I'm touching people's lives for eternity. Paul said, look, things are bad. We're going to continue marching forward. We're going to continue loving people. We're going to be humble. We're not going to be thinking about ourselves first. We're going to put other people first. We're going to do this like Jesus told us to do it. We're going to be servants to the world. And then one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what it's about. Amen. All right. All right. All right. You got your prayer assignment. Let's do it right now. Lord, we thank You for all You've done. We thank You, God, that You have walked with us. You have blessed our country, God. I can't imagine wanting to be anywhere else. I'm thankful to live in the United States of America. But I also know that the United States of America is not equal to the kingdom of God. Lord, You are doing something so much greater than what happens here or in any other country. And Lord, when You do Your work, whether here or around the world, it raises the level of that country. The blessings of God are felt in that area, Lord, and we just ask for that today. We pray that the name of Jesus would be lifted up. God, we pray for Joe Biden, and we pray for Donald Trump, and we pray for every person who is involved in an election or a decision or a lawsuit or all that stuff, God. We lift all of them up to You right now, and we pray, God, that above everything, not our will, but Your will be done. God, You have a plan in mind. You didn't check in with me. You didn't ask me about it. You have a plan in mind, and Lord, we're going to trust You. We're going to trust You in this plan. We're going to trust that You will never leave us and You will never forsake us, but You'll go with us all the way, even to the end, the Bible says. Lord, we trust You for that. And we pray, God, for wisdom, and we pray for peace. We pray for courage to do the right thing. We pray, Lord, that the people right now that are worried and anxious and afraid about what's happening in the future of our country, that, Lord, You, that Your peace would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We lift up the name of Jesus above every name. We lift up our leaders in prayer. And, God, we want to humble ourselves as Your servants to be obedient to Your word. And we trust You for what's coming. And we receive Your help in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give Him some praise, everybody. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I believe God is doing something. I believe God is doing something. And as long as there's a heaven and a hell, the church is the hope of the world. We have a gigantic calling to share the gospel. After COVID has happened, we have a responsibility to build the church again. We're rebuilding. I love, man, this place is full this morning. Thank You for being here this morning. Amen. We have a responsibility to share the gospel. You and I have something. Somebody said it this way. I've quoted it a million times. But Christianity can be boiled down to this. It's one beggar telling another beggar where he found the bread. you and me, we're not perfect. We will never be perfect. I'm going to mess up and I'm going to have to confess my sin and say, Lord, I need you to forgive me. Just like David did in Psalm 51. You're going to have to do the same thing. We are not perfect, but we're just another beggar saying, I found some bread and his name is Jesus. He's living bread, the bread of life. That's our goal. That's our job this morning. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to know him. The Bible tells us it's like this. We believe in Jesus. We surrender our lives to him. We confess our sins. We make him Lord of our life. I want you to pray that prayer any way that works for you. We just say, Lord, I believe in you. I confess my sins. I surrender my life. And let this be your moment to say, God, I want you to work in my life like never, ever before. And I believe God's going to do it. I believe God's going to do it. We're going to pray one more time. Then we're going to sing this song together and we're going to worship. And we're going to, I want you just to take a minute and just truly honor God this morning. With the next few minutes, just to, if you're comfortable lifting your hands, if you're not comfortable lifting them high, lift them low. It's all right. Just give God something to work with. Just start worshiping him, whatever that looks like for you. All right? And let's give God room to work in our lives. Lord, if there's anybody here today who doesn't know you, is not walking with you, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see you standing there with open arms, knocking on that door, just waiting for you to open. God, waiting for them to open to you. And we pray, Lord, that they would confess their sins and they would believe in you and they would surrender their life to you and start walking with you like never before. And you would bless them. And we trust you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Lord,